You're listening to The Purple Mystic, a podcast for the modern witch, with your host, Natalie Sedgwick. Good morning, broom riders. Welcome back to the Purple Mystic Podcast, podcast for the modern witch. I am your host, Natalie, and I am here today to talk about a few different things. First, I wanted to give my listeners an apology and an update. I realize that I haven't put out a lot of quality podcasts in the last few weeks, and I do apologize for that. I have been trying to get some new guests lined up, and everybody's telling me, yeah, sounds great. Then I ask them, what's your availability? Let's schedule. And they disappear like paper and water. So I know that the last year and a half thus far has been a little bit on the insane, and I know everybody has busy schedules, so I'm not disparaging anybody. Just know that I am working on lining up some new guests for interviews. I have a few people such as Selena Fox and Lady Rhea, the Bronx Witch. She is planning on coming on. We're just trying to get those times nailed down. But I felt bad that I wasn't putting out any kind of content for you guys, because when I initially started this podcast, I didn't want it to be strictly interviews. In fact, I wasn't even thinking interviews. I was just going to come on and kind of take it as like I do with my YouTube channel. So for those of you that may be new to the channel, my name is Natalie. I am a member of the Order of Bards, Ovates, and Druids. I have been a practitioner all my life, but openly practicing for about 8 years now. I have been reading tarot cards since I was 11, so that's a topic I like to talk about. It means a lot to me. But I also am a speech language pathologist, a mother, and a wife. And I reside in the great, wonderful, beautiful state of hellishly hot Texas. The only thing I don't like about the state is its heat. I could really do without the heat. Autumn is my favorite time of the year, so, you know, I'm one of those in-betwixt people, and I like it cool. It never gets cool enough for me here. Anyhow, what I thought I would talk about today is a topic that I've been seeing coming up all over a lot of different areas, and it just keeps popping up, so I took that as a sign to discuss it. And one of the things that really, really bothers me about the modern practice of the craft is that people seem to think you need to spend a whole lot of money. Now, I'm not going to lie. I mean, everybody likes to have nice stuff. Everybody likes to have nice tools, but tools are just that. There's something to aid the practitioner, but the creativity comes from within. So truthfully, we have three very powerful tools just within ourselves, probably about four or five actually, just within ourselves that do not require any kind of expenditure at all. And I want to discuss those today. The first one is your intention. Now, granted, you know, intention isn't the end all and be all. I know right now there's a big trend that says, oh, just state your intentions and it will be. Okay, yes and no. Okay, your intentions are very important, and your focus on your end goal is, yes, very important. And we believe that our intentions become our will, and our will becomes the physical reality of everything going on. So that is absolutely 100% true to that extent. The idea where it, I'm sorry, I have a tarot card from Ciro Marchetti that I keep on my computer, and it is completely missing. That is the weirdest thing. I can't seem to find it anywhere. Anyway, I'll look for it later. Your intention is one thing, but action and doing something is more. You know, it's great if I intend to get up and clean the house today, but if all I do is sit on the couch and watch Good Witch on Hallmark, that's not going to happen, right? It's not just going to manifest itself. So manifestation is more than intention. So I want you to keep that in mind. But your intention is very important. Setting that intention is very, very important. The next thing that we have in our power that's within ourselves that doesn't require any kind of special anything is our breath. The witch's breath. Very important. And this is a tool that I think doesn't get talked about enough. I know Gemma Gary talks about it in her book, The Black Toad, and I do believe she talks about it in a couple of her other books as well. I'm blanking on the name, although I can see the cover of the book in my head. I'm actually at home and not at my office where my library is, so I do apologize. But our breath is the purveyor of our will. So with that comes the ability to speak our intention into reality. And when we do that, what we're doing is we are taking our intention from the ethos and bringing it into the physical or third dimensional realm. So we are taking as above and bringing it so below. With that also comes spittle. The saliva of a witch carries that same intention, and it can be used maledictively or it can be used beneficially for whatever working you're doing. Okay, I'm not here to judge anybody. I don't consider myself a white witch. I don't believe magic has color. I believe it can be used either way, no matter what you're doing. And I don't like to assign a color because I think it skews the reality of what being a witch is. So, and I do believe strongly in the concept of justice. So anyway, your spittle is one of the tools that you can use. It comes directly from you. Like your blood, it carries your DNA. So it takes that spell and binds it to you. So you speak your intention. You have your intent. You speak it. You've now brought it into the physical world. And then you spit that out into the physical world. That those are three tools that you absolutely do not need anything else for to work a working. So don't feel that you need to really worry about it. I did a video a while back called A Witch's Most Powerful Tool, Their Words. And if you are not familiar with my YouTube channel, it's under the same name, Purple Broom Apothecary Presents. Please feel, well, my podcast is The Purple Mystic, but it's under the Purple Broom Apothecary Presents. Please feel free to go check that out and peruse through the videos. I believe we also did a series on that, one week on that, in Witches of the Moon. I don't remember what season. There are 13 seasons. We have now moved our platform strictly to a Patreon format, but please feel free to check that out because there are some interviews and podcasts and written materials and spells and other things on our Patreon that we did not make available on the YouTube platform. So, anywho, check that out. But I did a video on words because your words are your intent. Your words are probably one of the most powerful tools a witch has in their arsenal. Now, that combines a couple of the ones that we've already talked about. It combines your intention, it combines your breath, and in some ways it also combines your spittle. Because how many times have you been talking and something flies out, right? So keeping in mind that your words are probably one of the most powerful things you can do. Now, another concept I'd like to talk about that I've seen coming up is that I see a lot of people that say, oh, I can't write a spell because I can't write poetry. I can't rhyme words. That is probably one of the most discouraging things I have seen out there. I don't think, although I myself like my spells to rhyme. The words that I say have a rhythm and a meaning. They don't always rhyme, but I'm one of those people that I like them to because it just sounds traditional and right to me, right? But I'm also a writer. I've been writing poetry since I was a child, and so for me it comes very easy. I do a lot of reading. I have a relatively expansive vocabulary, so I like to utilize that and do that, but please do not ever let anyone tell you that your spell is not going to work because it doesn't rhyme. That is utterly, totally ridiculous. If your words speak your intention, your spell can be one word alone. It can be a sentence. You can combine that into a syllable that is a verbal sigil that combines all of that thought into one sound, and that would be your spell. So please do not ever think that, you know, it's got to be, you know, here by day and gone by night, feel the power of my might. It doesn't have to be like that. I mean, it can be, but it doesn't have to be. So please do not let that discourage you from writing spells. Now, one of the things that I find discouraging in some of the modern practice also is that I don't think that there's a good foundational understanding, which is why some of these topics are coming up. I think that in order to effectively use magic, a witch has to understand, first of all, where that power is coming from and how we are connected to divine source and can therefore manifest what we want and what we wish. But I think it also depends greatly on understanding how nature itself works and why magic works the way it does. Then you move into the production of magic yourself. And what I see is there are a lot of beginner books that talk about spells for this or spells for that or the rule of three and all of that, but they don't talk about really where magic comes from. And I really feel that that's something that is needing a foundation. When I joined the Order of Bards, Ovates, and Druids, it was a calling for me because one of the things they do your entire first year is simply talk about, you learn about the foundations of nature and inspiration and creativity and how that lends itself into magical practice comes in your second year. So I really feel that that was a great way to introduce this pathway to people, because it really gave a great foundation to the understanding of the importance of imagination, which is another tool that we have within us that does not require any spending of any money. Your imagination, coming up with that rhyme if you want it to rhyme, or just sitting down and writing down the words to a spell to manifest something that you want. Again, that takes it from the ethos, from the as above into the so below, because now once you have written those words down, you see it. It becomes a multimodal activity. And here's the speech pathologist coming in. When we write things down, it commits it to memory. It moves it from short-term into long-term memory. So it's something that sits and ruminates in the back of our mind. It becomes a multimodal activity. You are now seeing the words, you know, you're thinking of them, so you're hearing them in your head in your own voice as you come up with them, as the Awen speaks to you, or as Divine Source speaks to you, or your goddess speaks to you, the Lord and Lady speak to you, whatever your Divine Source is, or your concept of Divine Source is. Then as you write it down, you're hearing it again in your own voice, then you're seeing it on the page, and you're feeling it tactile in your hand as you write it. So now that spell has become completely magical. All of yourself and all you need was a pen and a paper. And actually, you don't even need that. You can take a stick and scratch it out in the dirt, you know, somewhere if you wanted to do that. So that is one of those things. Now, another concept that another aspect of, you know, not having to spend a lot is nature itself. I truly believe that we have been given everything we need on this planet, and the need for material things is a concept created within the mind of the human being. We feel we need tools. And why do we feel we need these tools? Well, they do help us to focus our intention. They add a boost to our spellcraft because of the energies that they bring to us themselves. So, but here's the deal. Any physical tool that is created is created through the energy of a person, right? Whether that person is you or whether you choose to buy that tool. And if you buy a tool created by another person, I will always, 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 always recommend that you cleanse that tool and consecrate it to yourself and your practice. Because guess what? Anything that is created carries a bit of the creator with it. So that person's energy is bound to that tool. So it needs to be cleansed and it needs to be prepared for you to use. Right? And that's not saying it's a bad thing. For example, people like Joey Morris of Starry Eyed Supplies. She also goes, I believe, by Starry Eyed Little Lady. That's her handle, I think, on Twitter and TikTok and those places. She's got phenomenal energy. I absolutely love her products. I wish I could afford to buy more from her. But, you know, when you own your own business, things are up and down, and that's not always an option. But I can tell you that the energy that comes off of her products when you open them, there's nothing like it. So, but I still will cleanse those things and consecrate them to my personal use. Now, that doesn't necessarily take her energy away, but it certainly adds a boost to it. You know, I believe that if the creator's intentions are pure, are good for your practice and for that tool to be useful, then it will definitely lend a boost to your own energies. So that's something to keep in mind. Now, in terms of herbs and herbal uses, plants, leaves, I strongly recommend that you get to know the land around you, because the land spirits that are dwelling within your home place, that are tied to the great goddess of earth on which we live and out of which we come and to which we return when we pass through the veil, are your most powerful spiritual allies and your magical allies. So get to know the land around you. Begin to offer things to the land, even if it's just watering your lawn. Make that intentional. Get out there and say, I am offering you this water to bring you health and to bring forth life. That right there will bind you to the spirits of your land, and then you will start finding things. Now, I do have to make a statement here that you are not supposed to, and yes, I'm guilty of this, you are not supposed to pick up feathers and things like that that you find in your land, because technically it's a violation of federal law to obtain the feathers of any migratory bird without a written dispensation for religious purposes, blah, blah, blah. Now, when they say that, that is normally in reference to the indigenous peoples of the land, and I have the utmost respect for all of the indigenous peoples of the United States and around the world, and they absolutely should have their religious practices. I just wish there was more recognition for our religious practices as well and how important those items are to us. So if anyone is interested in helping me to forward our cause and being able to utilize materials that are ethically harvested, and I stress the ethically harvested. I don't want anybody going out and shooting a bald eagle for its feathers. Please do not do that. How dare you? But, you know, if you find a feather in your yard, I think you absolutely ought to be able to pick that up and utilize that. I consider that a gift from the gods. If you see a bird whose life has been terminated on the road and you know how to harvest those feathers, I think you ought to be able to do that. It is important to us, and especially if it's, like in my case, an owl, which is one of my spirit totems, I definitely think that that's a sign that, you know, that's a gift to you, especially when you are giving that animal back to the earth in the manner to which it deserves, instead of leaving it laying in the road where it's just going to get squashed some more. So, anyway, but sticks, nuts, rocks, things like that, are definitely things that you can utilize. I mean, I have found deceased animals that I have repurposed for, you know, certain things. I find snake shed, I utilize that profusely. I was going to say prolifically, and then it became profusely, and then I don't know where that word came from. I'm Dr. Seuss today. So anyhow, I really do feel that those things are things that will be your most powerful tools, and probably more powerful than anything you can buy. The next kind of tool will be something you craft for yourself. You need a new wand? Get out there and find a stick that speaks to you. There are plenty on the ground. You don't have to cut one from a tree, but if you have a tree that needs some pruning, trees do occasionally need pruning, then feel free to give it an offering. Make it an offering of some sort. Even if it's just a piece of your own hair, if it's a little bit of water from a bottle of water, you know, give it thanks for its gift to you and its sacrifice of a part of itself, just as you are sacrificing a part of yourself by giving it a piece of your hair or what have you. And then utilize that and create your own. It doesn't have to be beautiful. That's the other thing that really bothers me. For any of you that have seen my Athame, that thing is hideous. It really is ugly. But I made it myself. And I hand-carved every bit of it myself. It didn't turn out quite the way I intended. And the top of it got chewed off by my dog, because I had a beautiful triple moon that I had carved to the top of the handle and the pommel there. And she chewed it clean off. So it now has my doggy tooth marks in it, which my doggy is now across the Rainbow Bridge. So I do plan on crafting a new one, and I might even put a video up on my YouTube or on my Patreon that will demonstrate how to do that, because it's not as hard as you think. But anyway, you know, you can get out there and make a lot of your own tools. You can find rocks and things that speak to you. Crystals don't have to be polished, beautiful little stones, although we all like those. You know, don't feel that you have to spend a fortune. Now, the other thing that I did want to talk about today is, if you are wanting to obtain tools, where can you find decently priced tools? Well, guess what? The Dollar Tree is one of my favorite places in the world to find things for magical workings, because they are a fabulous source of inexpensive glass jars, inexpensive candles, and they always have a lot of really cool stuff around the holidays. So I will utilize that and go out there and spend maybe $20 and get a ton of stuff that I can utilize, whether it is candles, whether it is glitter. They have at least the one near my home has a pretty decent crafting section. So they have lots of those little small glass jars with the cork lids, and they have some small glass bottles with screw top lids, which are great for making talismans and charms. And they are also very good for making magical oils, especially in small portable bottles, because you can tape up that bottle and put it in a travel altar and take some small amount, or get one with the screw top for your travel altar and make yourself some magical oils. Oils do not have to cost a lot of money either. Guess what? You can buy olive oil at the Dollar Tree. That can be your base. Now, if you like a more expensive oil like grapeseed oil, which happens to be my favorite, but it is a little bit more expensive, I like it because it doesn't have any real fragrance of its own. Olive oil has kind of its own strong oil. So when I blend it with certain herbs or essential oils, sometimes it skews the smell. Grapeseed oil is a little bit lighter, but a bottle of grapeseed oil for $5 can last me quite a while. And you can also buy things in bulk from like Bulk Apothecary and some of the others, like Mountain Rose Herbs. Ooh, do I love Mountain Rose Herbs. And if you are interested in checking out their products, I will put a link in the description for you so you can go to their site and kind of check out anything that they have, because I'll tell you what, they are phenomenal. They have got some really cool stuff. So I'll put a link to Mountain Rose Herbs in the description for this podcast. I probably won't get to publish this podcast this morning, but I'll try to get it out this afternoon. It is Wednesday, and I have to be at the Dayhab by 9. It's 8:33, so. But I don't want to prattle on too much longer either. So the Dollar Tree can be a valuable source of like glass bowls for mixing, bottles. Check them out. They've got twine. You can buy cheap material there for making poppets. Lots of great supplies for under $20. Same thing with Dollar General. I have found some really cool stuff at Dollar General that I have found very useful for creating different things. Pieces of wood, like they have crafting wood because they have a small crafting section too. It's usually over by the school supplies. So check that out, because they can be fabulous sources of inexpensive things with which to make your own tools. Walmart sometimes has some really inexpensive things. They have inexpensive candles. They have some incenses, which are pretty decent. The Five Below often has a really nice incense section. So if you're looking for incense, you can go there. But also check out some of your local metaphysical shops. I really believe that a lot of them are not horribly expensive. So if you see something that really, really just speaks to you, save your money. Do some tarot readings. You know, tell people, look, I have a tool I want to buy. I'm offering $5, you know, 3-card reads, or $10, 3-card reads. See if you can't do like a little fundraiser for yourself, but don't feel that you have to spend a ton. And in terms of books and having a fabulous library, everybody loves to have a fabulous library. And research is a good tool for the witch, but guess what? You don't have to spend any money on that either. You can go to the library. You can find other witches with which to do book exchanges and things like that. You know, honing in on some of the groups that like to do exchanges with each other are very good ways of doing that. herbs. You can buy a lot of inexpensive herbs from the Dollar Tree, from Dollar General, from a lot of these stores. You can pick some up at Walmart for a buck. You don't have to buy the fanciest, most expensive herbs to use. And a lot of the table herbs are herbs that we use in our practices. Rosemary is a big one. We use that for protection, for boosting, for, you know, divine nurturing, you know, all kinds of wonderful things. Patchouli is a little harder to find. It's not a culinary herb, but basil, thyme, rosemary, salt, all of those things, they don't have to be horribly expensive. So don't feel that you have to spend a whole lot. Know that the power that you're imbibing into your magic comes from you. It comes from within you. So just bear that in mind and realize that you don't have to, you know, be rich to be a witch. And there it is. Thank you, folks, for joining me today. I really do appreciate all of your support. I would like it very much if you'd step over to my YouTube channel, The Purple Broom Apothecary Presents. Feel free to click on the like button. My podcasts often get uploaded there as well. And you can find this podcast on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Spreaker, and Podbean, as well as Spotify and many others, hoping to be on Pandora soon. So please, 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 you know, feel free to subscribe and give me any feedback. I look forward to meeting you. You can reach out to me personally at info@purplebroomapothecary.com. You can also visit my website, which is www.purplebroomapothecary.com, and check out my Facebook page, because I often offer some products that I don't have on the website because my catalog on the website is limited. So please step over and check me out. Thank you so much for listening, and blessed be.